Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Well, I'll tell you what, I love it when God does this. The message has been totally changed for today. So turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, starting with verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, and I'll be reading through verse 18. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand, please, as I read from God's Word. I'm going to be looking at the comfort of Christ's coming. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that we do have eternal life, and we will never die again, but we will live. And Father, we pray today, God, that You will speak, that Father, You will do the moving, and Lord, that You will speak to our hearts. And Father, let every word today that I preach come from Your Holy Spirit, Lord, and nothing from my thoughts or my flesh. And God, we give You the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, this message, like I said, this come from the Lord. I was sitting last night, we were watching a movie on TV, and it was a really good movie. And during commercial break, Janine got up, and I just grabbed my Bible, and I started thumbing through, and I got to 1 Thessalonians to this scripture, and I started reading this, and you know, it really pertains a lot to our day and time right now. I firmly believe that we are definitely in the time in the last days. Now, the Bible says that we don't know the day or the hour when the Lord will return. Not even the angels in heaven know, but God the Father knows when He will send Jesus back to come and take His bride home to be with Him for forever. But I do know that we are definitely in the season because, and this would be another sermon for another time, but there are a lot of prophecies that have been fulfilled. There are a lot of things that are going on in this world, nation against nation. There is so much hatred and evil. I was reading the news this morning about a shooting down in Jacksonville, Florida. And it was a hate-related issue. And it, you know, it sickens you to watch what's going on in our government, how people are turning away from God. They're starting to embrace other ideologies. People are falling for other religions. And really, in the Christian church, we're seeing that people are going after to build bigger church houses and to have the big attendance and to do all these great mighty things. But are we really a church that's focused on witnessing for the Lord? See, there are people that are dying and going to hell literally day after day. I've heard people, and this message really comes up because, you know, as much as I've worked in the funeral home, I've talked to people, and I've had people present their ideas as to what happens after we die and the afterlife and everything else. I had a discussion with a young lady some time back, and as we sat there and talked, her mother had died, and basically I was getting some information from her for the service. Well, as she talked, she said, well, now that my mother is gone, because basically she said my mom was just a form of energy, and now she no longer exists. And I said, could you elaborate on that just a little bit, what you're talking about? And she says, oh, well, all of us, we're just energy. And when we die, it's over. That's it. And I said, really? That's how you think? I said, do you realize that? Now, this girl had gone to church when she was young, had been raised in a Methodist church, and somehow got involved in Scientology or scientific studies, and her mind, the devil's gotten a hold of her mind and turned and twisted things a whole new way. But I said to her, do you not know that Christ died for us on the cross? That when we as Christian people, when we die, that's not the end of it. And that's where I want to get into the message today, is because people don't really know and what to expect when we die and leave the face of this earth. If you go back into Scripture, Luke chapter 23, and I'm going to flip over there real quick. I want to read something from there I think is very helpful. But you remember back in the 23rd chapter of Luke, this is when Jesus was dying on the cross. In verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed, excuse me, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, that right there is proof enough. I've got another scripture I'm going to share with you. But see, as a Christian, when you receive Christ into your heart and your life, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you have lived your life for the Lord, for the Christian person, up at the time of death, when a person takes their last breath on the face of this earth, that's not the end of it. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and Seventh-day Adventists believe, that when you die, you're asleep, and you remain in your body until the Lord comes back. And that's not right, because I just read to you the scripture. Jesus was speaking to the thief, and if you look at how the thief said this to Jesus, he didn't say the sinner's prayer. He just said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Because the man chose to believe upon his time of death, Jesus promised him then and there that he would be in paradise, which paradise Jesus says is referring to as heaven. So when a Christian person dies, you do not sleep in the grave for all of eternity or until Jesus comes back. At the moment when we die, we are immediately transported to heaven, where we stand before God the Father, and we will be judged according to how we lived our lives. So that's why I preach a lot. It's important that we live a life that is pleasing to God, that we love other people, that we read the Word, that we study, that we witness, that we live as Christ wanted us to live, that we're not people who walk the fence, that we don't live a lukewarm life, that we only turn to Jesus when we need Him, but that our hearts are always worshiping the Lord, that we're giving him thanks day every day of our life. But we should be thankful that, because if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross, then we would have no hope. We would have been condemned to hell for all of eternity. But see, even when Jesus died, Jesus was hanging on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he gave up his spirit, and his spirit immediately left the body. And you can read that in Scripture as well. Now, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all give a different account of the crucifixion when Jesus died. But in one, and I have to go back and look, but in one of the books, it said Jesus gave up his spirit. So his spirit left the body because Jesus actually had to go to hell, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan, and he set the captives free, because back the Old Testament saints, back in the time, Jesus had not yet come and died for them, but Jesus went to set them free so that they could come and be with him in paradise as well. And then on the third day, upon resurrection day, we know that Jesus came, his spirit came back to the body, and Jesus walked out of the tomb, because when his spirit came back to the body, it was quickly changed in a moment, and Jesus walked out of the tomb. And you know from New Testament scriptures that Jesus was able to walk through walls. Jesus was able to be touched. He could eat. And in the same way, that's exactly what we have waiting for us. Now, what I want to explain to you about Jesus coming back, there's two returns of Jesus. There's the rapture, which I just read about in Scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 4. When the trumpet sounds, Jesus is going to come back in the eastern sky, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Now, every single person who has died and that their spirit has gone on to be with the Lord, when the rapture does happen, the Lord will bring back the spirit of that deceased person. That spirit will come back, and when that body is raised from the grave, just as it happened with Jesus in the grave, the spirit in that body will be brought back together, and they will be quickly changed into that eternal body. And then the Bible says that all of us who are remaining, we will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them in the air. Now, I'm telling you what, if you think that's something that isn't glorious, we've got something wonderful awaiting us. Jesus promised that when he ascended back into heaven, he promised that he would come back and that he would receive us unto himself. So when it comes that time, we will meet the Lord in the air, and the Bible says that forever we will be with him in eternity. I also want to read to you 2 Corinthians 5:8. This is the other scripture. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So see, every Christian person that dies, they will be quickly, or the Bible says, be with the Lord. So I want to throw this little illustration out there this morning. If I've done this many times, I wish I would have brought a glove with me. But if you take a glove and if you lay that glove down, it's not going to do anything, right? It's just going to lay there. But if you pick up that glove and put your hand inside of it, well, guess what? That glove seems to have life to it because there's something was added to it. And in the same way, it's like our life. God gave us life. God gave us a spirit. And the moment we die and the spirit leaves the body, there's no more life left in the body. But our spirit goes on to be with Jesus. Okay, I want to read from chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So, during the time that we're alive on the face of this earth, we've got a job to do. Now, we're not supposed to stand around and you know, watch up in the sky and wait for Jesus to come back. We are supposed to be doing the work that He's called us to do. We are supposed to be busy doing the will of the Lord. That's because, you know what? If you sit around and wait on something, guess what happens? Well, you get impatient, don't you? And I've heard people tell me, well, I've heard this preached that Jesus was coming back. Well, where is He? Well, the time is not as of yet, but it's not for us to know either. It's for us to continue to do God's work. We are to be out in the highways and the byways witnessing and telling others about Jesus Christ, because the life and the love that we share with other people, it brings hope to them. But it also strengthens us and gives us hope as we wait for the return of the Lord. Because as the Bible says, 1,000 years to the Lord is as a day, and one day is as 1,000 years. Now, I don't know how to get into the math. A lot of these, what they call prophetic people, will get on TV, and man, they've got it all figured out. And I remember back in 1988, this man wrote a book, and he said in that book, 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. Well, Jesus didn't come in 1988. Then he wrote a book, Why Jesus Didn't Come in 1988. So we could spend our days and our lives trying to figure all this out, but like I said, it's not for us to know. Only God knows, not the angels of heaven. Jesus doesn't know, but only God the Father. But we are to be about the Father's business, just like Jesus was. We are going to celebrate the day because, you know what, when we least expect it, the trumpet will sound, and the coming of the Lord is like a thief in the night. You know, a thief waits till the darkness to go out and do his criminal activity. You know that. And a thief will break into a house that is unprepared and will steal. And that's exactly what the devil is doing in our world today. The devil is getting... He works in darkness, and if we are unprepared, if we are not about the Lord's work, the devil will break. He can come in and steal from us, and he can make us to lose hope, and we can become impatient, and we can start to doubt the word. And then you know what you have happening? People start falling by the wayside. People don't go to church. People lose interest in living for the Lord, and people today are asking still yet, well, where is he? Where are the signs of his coming? Well, as I said to you earlier, everything that's going on in the world today, everything points that we are definitely in the season. But the day or the hour we don't know of. But as a thief in the night, Jesus will come. And when Jesus comes again, what will he find us doing? What will our activities be? I've preached a message before when I preach funerals, about when you look at a tombstone, you'll see a date of birth And then you'll always see a date of death. And I've always said those two dates have some significance because they tell of a person's birth and when they died. But I said what matters is the dash that's in between. And I got some strange looks when I said that, because the dash in between those years, that's a representation of that person's life. How did that person live? What kind of character did they possess? Were they a Christian? Were they a non-Christian? And that's something that should hit our hearts. People that are around us, we shouldn't ponder and wonder if they're Christians or not, but we should make it a point that when we are around other folks and we get to talking to them, it should be part of our nature that we ask them, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? But do you know how many people are so afraid to utter those words? And why? Because people are afraid of what the world's going to think of them. I don't care what people think of me. I don't. I just don't. People may think I'm nuts for preaching what I preach, but I preach the Word of God. I don't preach from a book that some guy wrote. I preach the Word of God because it's truth. It's a word of power. It's life-changing and life-giving. And this Word has always been, and it will always remain. And it's God-inspired. It came from the Heavenly Father. So what I do in the life is I want to please the Lord. I fail Him. Every day I fail Him. And I have to ask for forgiveness. But I have got to make it a point in my life that Jim Cooper has got to witness a lot more than he does. I'm guilty of not saying enough each and every day. Now, there's places I go that they say it's not allowed to talk about that stuff in here. I'm going to talk about it. You can't throw me in jail. It's not against the law. So we should make it a point to tell somebody about Jesus. Because if somebody dies and they don't know Jesus, well, that person doesn't stay in their body either. That person will go to hell. And there they will await the great white throne judgment. And this is now we're going to come to this other second coming I'm telling you about. After the rapture has happened, Jesus will come back. But this last time that Jesus comes back, Jesus will come and set His foot on the Mount of Olives. And there's, of course, you know, you read about it in Revelations. There's going to be a war and Satan will be defeated. And after that great time when Jesus has come back and set His foot upon the Mount of Olives, the great white throne judgment happens at the end of it all. And John said in his vision, he saw the dead. These were people who died in their sins. And they were brought up. And they stood before the Father, they stood before the Lord, and they were judged according to their sins. And then they were cast into a lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are, and even the devil himself and all the angels that fell from heaven will be cast into that lake of fire. So I want you to think about it. There are people who have died in their sins and they have gone to hell. And I hate to say that, but it is the truth because they refused to follow Jesus Christ. But you know what? You and I as Christian people, we shouldn't be worrying about being part of the social club. We shouldn't be worrying about how much money we can make. We shouldn't be worried about how grand we can make our house or how important we can look to others in society, or that everybody knows our name, or that we speak eloquently. That's why I got away from seminary. I don't want to preach sermons how man says I should preach them. I want to preach as the Spirit moves upon me to preach. A lot of times I use a little outline. Sometimes I don't have one at all. I just let the Spirit of the Lord move. But we should be determined within ourselves that we are going to tell people about Jesus. If we are Christians, then that means we are Christ-like. Our attitude should reflect it. How we treat others should reflect it. The words that come out of our mouth should reflect it. People should be able to look at a Christian and see Jesus. If we are not seeing, if others don't see Jesus in us, we have a problem and we better get it taken care of. And you know what? If we're living a life that we're living on the fence, that we serve Jesus here and then we live for the devil here, guess what? I think we're in danger, really, of not making it into heaven. Because if we're living for the Lord, it's going to be our heart's desire to follow His commandments. It's going to be our heart's desire to love people. Doesn't matter who they are, where they come from, what they look like, no matter if they're rich, poor, or in between, it should not matter. But hearing God's word on Sunday should provoke us not to worry about what's going on in the world, because this world is temporary. What I have read you this morning, this is eternal. When Jesus comes back and he comes to call the Christians off of the face of this earth in the rapture, that's it. Anybody that's left behind will have to go through 7 years of time of tribulation. And you think things are bad right now, when the tribulation happens, it's going to be hell on earth is what it's going to be, because the Antichrist will be released and the Antichrist is going to have his way. People can still make it to heaven, but they have to reject the mark of the beast. They have to turn away from that. So there is still an opportunity. But that's why I say right now, today's the day of salvation. Today's the day that we ought to be telling people about Jesus Christ, not worrying about getting home and having dinner. I went and preached at a church one time, and before I got up there to read the scripture, a woman in the back raised her hand. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, I wanted to ask, how long are you going to be preaching this morning?" And I said, "Well, what does that matter?" And she said, "Well, I put on a pot roast this morning and I don't want it to burn." And I was just kidding. I said, "Well, I've got about 18 pages of notes up here." I said, "So it may take us a little while to get through it, but we'll get through it. And if your pot roast burns, go buy another one." And she looked at me with these wide eyes. And then I got into the message. And so see, we think and worry about these trivial things, but we don't think about the day of the Lord coming. It's going to happen. What's God going to find you doing when Jesus comes back? Is He going to find you in a moment of rage? Is He going to find you in a moment of hating somebody? Is He going to find you in a moment of your heart filled with worry and doubts? Or is the Lord going to come back? And when we stand before Him, is He going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Because see, we will be held accountable for every idle word, every action. Now, our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, but we will give an account of what we have done. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. So, I hope that we have all gotten something out of this message today, that Jesus is returning and His return is very near. What are you doing to prepare for that time? Are you working for the Lord? Are you hungry for the Lord? Are you really passionate about God? Because if you are, your life will show it and your actions will back it up. I pray that as God's church, as Christian people, that we won't let anything stand in our way of telling someone about Jesus. You might say, "Well, I'm not used to doing that," or "I'm too shy," or "I just don't do well around." Well, you know what? Jesus is greater than all that. Jesus said, "I have come that you would have life and have it abundantly." Jesus didn't come to give you fear. Jesus didn't come to give you doubts and all that. Jesus came to set you free from all that. Jesus gave you life, which means he put a power inside of you called the Holy Spirit, that when he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and to be our guide. And we should grasp every bit of the Lord, and we should live for him with all that we are and all that we have. We should submit it to him. You know, when Milton said his prayer request this morning, that really moved my heart, that a father and a mother are concerned about their son. But and are we concerned about our family members? Are we concerned about our loved ones and our friends, our co-workers? Are we concerned? If not, we better be getting on our knees. We need to start filling these altars up on Sunday, and we need to start praying. And we need to start saying, Lord, change who I am. Change who I am. I don't want to be the same old way. See, age doesn't matter. The other day, you know, Eric Akery passed away. I think Eric was maybe 50 years old, 49 years old. Young man, basically. A few days ago, somebody in entertainment, you know, 36 years old, died. So see, age is no, I mean, death is not a respecter of persons by age. You can die young, you can die up, but you better be ready. If Jesus were to call you home right now, or if Jesus come back, would you be with him for eternity? Is my question today. Would you be with him for eternity? Because he's coming. When that trumpet sounds, hallelujah, my shoes would be left sitting on a... I hope that Jesus comes back when I'm in the pulpit. Boy, I'd love to go out here shouting. I could just see it now. Be standing in the pulpit one day preaching, and the rapture happened, and somebody come along and find my shoes right here. And there'd be burn marks where I went up. That would be the greatest thing in the world.